Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. Here at the top of the podcast, I would love to ask for you to support this podcast by following or subscribing this on your favorite podcasting app or finding it online on runbuildgrow.com. And there's even a link in there for you to find the podcast on your favorite podcasting app if you need to find it. While you're online, I'd love it if you'd head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and review the show. It really helps others to notice how much you enjoy it. And, you know, if you leave me a review, I will read your review in the opening of the next podcast. Always make sure to share your podcast with your running community. If you tag the podcast or tag me, the Runnin' Rev, on Instagram or Facebook, I will give you a shout out and reshare that as well. Make sure also, if you would love to support, I would love your support for this podcast. If you have it within you to help to support not just the podcast, but this whole Runnin' Rev network and the Runnin' Rev Run Club with a one-time or a monthly donation, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runnin'rev. You can drop a tip if you really love this episode or one of the other episodes that I've done, or you can become a member with a monthly donation, and supporters of the podcast will get a shout out in each and every episode. So if you head over there and give me support, you'll get shout outs in each and every episode. But in today's episode, in this episode, coming off the Boston Marathon from Monday, I had to get James Moore on the podcast. James is a local runner here in Hampton Roads, where I am from, and James puts all of his effort into every run, and I love it. I love everything he does. I love everything he is about, but he is more than just someone who ran the Boston Marathon, because for many of us, that may seem beyond us. James is a down-to-earth community leader here in Hampton Roads, and it is not just him going to Boston representing Hampton Roads, but he is taking the stories and the journeys of all these other folks with him as he goes. And we go in depth about what his Boston journey was like, what it was like for him to qualify for Boston for the first time, what it was like this time for him to run his fifth Boston Marathon, and also give us a little bit of depth of what it looks like to set goals, what it looks like to engage with goals in a community. And so we dive in and look at that from this communal-based perspective. And so let's jump in and let's hear this story from James Moore. All right. Welcome in, everybody. I am excited to be doing somewhat of a race recap, but also kind of another journey too. I'm joined today by James Moore down here from the 757, who just 2 days ago ran Boston, ran the marathon, participated in all the festivities. So I'm so happy to have James on. James, how you doing today?
I'm great, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. For those listeners who are aware, you know, this is one of three, now the third person who's run Boston this year. You'll remember I talked with Thomas Hicks back early on. He talked about his journey to Boston. I talked to Mike Couch right before, y'all remember Shamrock, about his journey to Boston. So now we're going to get somewhat a little bit. This is not James. This was not James's first Boston. I don't really think it'll be his last based on how he's running, but it'll be really nice to catch up and to see, you know, everything that goes into this journey, but also just how the race unfolded and went out for you. But as listeners know, James, we cannot get too far into the conversation before I ask, James, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
My community, I really think I define it in a couple of ways. One, I've got my friends that I run with regularly. I have a real core group of guys that I train with, run with them, I don't know, sometimes 5 or 6 days a week, and they help keep me motivated. They help keep me accountable, and they're all fast. They're pretty much all faster than me, so they help keep me focused on keeping my fitness up. But then at the broader sense, and I was thinking about this when I was in Boston, one of the things I love about Boston is I get up there, and there's so many people up there all for the same race, obviously, and I feel like I belong there, like going to the expo and just seeing everyone who's so excited to be out there and be taking part in this, you know, just tremendous race, this great experience. That is also my community. Like, I really feel like I'm at home, you know, at Boston or really any race, but Boston or big races like that, it just magnifies it so much for me.
And, you know, folks from Hampton Roads are going to be very familiar with you, seeing you just at all sorts of races and seeing you around as a leader in the run community. But, you know, from the forefront, being out at these big races and really highlighting this journey, you know, we look and we see, and especially when we talk about Boston, you know, we look at someone like Thomas, who we've already had on, and he talks about qualifying and getting into Boston and you know, running that standard. And then, you know, we have Mike's story of, you know, trying, attempting, not quite making it, but then getting bib, especially for, you know, some of him and his Navy sub guys. But what does it mean as you travel to some of these races, as you're taking this Hampton Roads community with you, every aspect of it, and do you almost feel like you become representative of what you're coming from and then what you're going towards?
Yeah, like I definitely feel a sense of pride about being from the 757 when I'm there. Like, you know, the group of us who were up there just this week all got together for a photo, did a shakeout run before the race. And it is kind of exciting to be there to represent your local, like, running community or your local run club. You know, I was up there, my real small crew, East Running Club. I had my East singlet on, you know, to hear people yelling East because they could read it on there. You know, it's exciting. It makes it special for you.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, listeners are going to be familiar with this journey, with this idea of what it takes to go to Boston, of what it takes to be a part of Boston. And while for a lot of folks it may feel unattainable, it's when we talk about the community aspect of something like the Boston Marathon, or, you know, for those who are hitting time standards for some of the other world marathon majors, or for those who are hitting Olympic trials qualifiers, you know, it can feel daunting because for the majority of a community, it's a race, and it's probably something that we're never going to get to experience. You know, we're not going to get to run Boston for, you know, whether we don't hit the qualifying standard or some of the charity standards are, you know, way too far away. And so I know, at least for me, in the era that I'm in, supporting folks to help them get to Boston or achieve these goals. So I want to explore what has gotten you to Boston. How many times have you run the Boston Marathon now?
This was my fifth time. And it took me a while to get there. When I decided that I really wanted to try to get into Boston, because for the longest time, I ran very casually. I didn't know how to train properly, I think is what it came down to. So I had run a couple of marathons in my late 20s, and they were slow. I didn't train well. I was walking a lot. But as I got a little bit older, I said, I really want to make a go for this. I want to see if I can put in the work and get myself into Boston. And the first marathon where I committed to doing it, I missed the qualifying time by 8 minutes. But I thought, hey, this is a huge PR for me. I can shave off 8 minutes. That's not a problem. Then I spent pretty much the next 2 years and seven additional marathons trying to get that BQ time. So it was really my eighth marathon, where Boston was the goal, that I finally actually got the BQ and got in. And a big part of what helped me was the local running community. Early in my journey, I used to do all of my running solo. And at some point, I was like, I've got to get out there. I've got to meet some people. I can't run 40, 50 miles a week by myself all the time. Yeah. So I finally found a couple of different groups I could go run with. And it made a tremendous difference for me. Like, you know, the training miles go a lot easier if you're not out there alone the entire time.
And so what are you saying to folks who want to be a part of that journey? And they name, maybe right now, Boston is not a thing for me. I'm known to joke and jest that I feel like runners do way too much of the work when it comes to qualifying for Boston. And at some time, we need to let the qualifying standards do a little bit of the work. So I'm just going to age into qualifying for Boston. You have folks who may look at the standards and say, hey, if I can just hold like a 320 for the next like 20 or 30 years, then I can get in when I'm like 50 or 60 or something like that. You know, for men, for women, it's different standards. But Yeah, these folks who they may look at some of these majors and they may say, I'm never going to qualify for that. And for them, that's fine. But maybe they want to be a part of community that helps to support other runners who are qualifying for these events. So what have been the times in your journey? What have been some stories, some experiences that you have had of people who either have qualified for Boston and have come along your journey, people who have not qualified for Boston, but have still been like a source of encouragement for you and guiding you along, or just anybody in the community? You know, I'd love for our listeners to hear, you know, what does that look like to help to support someone, to help to be there for someone, to lift them up in going after this endeavor?
I've been fortunate to meet and, you know, I guess join a community of folks, some who had previously done Boston, like Drew Midland, who I'm sure everybody knows, used to be from the area. He was one of the first people I met when I really tried to start running with a group. I met with him through the Running Etc. Brew Crew, and, you know, talking to him and some of the other folks there about, hey, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. Him just giving me some like advice saying, okay, like, you know, maybe here's some things that you should try, because he was a lot more of an experienced runner than I was. And then even for folks who weren't necessarily on that same journey to get in, just kind of being open about, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. I found nothing but encouragement from the running community. And that's something I try to offer back. I'm always excited if someone says, hey, I'm going for this time, whether it be to try to get into Boston or just like, I want to set a PR. Great. I want to hear that. I'm excited for anyone who's out there. And I think that's the best thing we can do for each other is to, you know, really support everyone's efforts, because we're all doing the same thing. Sure, our goals might be different. Like, we're in different places in our lives, different ages, whatever, different abilities. But that's what I love about running, is that I feel like I'm out there challenging myself. Now, sure, I want to beat a lot of other people on race day, but it's most important to me that I'm doing the best I can. And I want to encourage other people to do the same thing and feel the same way. And it's not all about Boston. I love that. I want to continue to do that race. You know, if I'm able to qualify, I'm going to keep doing it. That's why I've done it 5 times. But I think every race, no matter how big or small, has that same feel to me. Like, I love racing. I race a lot because it's fun. And that's when I get the most from the community. Like, we're all out there to do the same thing. We're all out there pushing ourselves for whatever the distance is, no matter how big, no small, or no matter how small. It's the best day. It's always the best day.
And so for someone who's sitting there and maybe they're mulling around kind of that first marathon, and, you know, they start looking towards those leaders in the community, those people who have done it, those people who are setting the example, you know, what kind of maybe advice are you giving them as they're setting off on this journey, as they're looking towards whether it's a Boston qualifier or even just for the sake of anything, they just want to complete a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K. What's that bit of wisdom and advice that you're taking from this journey that you've been on, from this understanding of your journey, and offering to those around you in community?
Yeah, I would say find people that you like to run with, find people that are going to be supportive of you. And I think most of the running community will be. Yeah, don't feel like you're out there alone, because that makes it hard. It makes it feel more daunting than it is. That you're going to find people that are on a similar journey or are also training for a marathon. Meet up with those folks. Train with them when you can. You know, also do some solo miles, because when you get out there on race day, you are alone, or you'll be alone mentally for at least part of it. But find a good group of folks. You know, we have so many great run clubs and organizations in the area. Just go out, show up. If you don't know anyone, it's fine. People are welcoming. I didn't know anyone at a bunch of run clubs, and I just showing up to them, and like, I've made a lot of really good friends, people that I didn't know 6-7 years ago. You know, now I count amongst my best friends because I met them through running, and we just started hanging out on runs.
And that becomes the big thing, because I love your sense of acknowledging everyone has their own goals and everybody's doing their own thing. And even to compare yourself to other people, you know, if I'm sitting here where I am and I'm trying to compare myself to James Moore, I'm going to be disappointed because I'm not in the kind of shape you are. I'm not here qualifying for Boston. I'm not doing all of these things. But I think when we sit and exist in that area of where we are, of what our capabilities are. You know, I think that that definitely helps to build up community. And then for folks to come around and to support us in those endeavors, to go back to that first, to the first time you qualified for Boston, what was that spark for you? What made you want to push to try and make that achievement? Even just running the marathon in general, like, what about you was driven to that distance? And then what about you was driven to that race?
I think originally the distance was, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. You know, I'm a competitive person. Like I knew people who had run marathons. Like when I first got into running, and I was like, you know, my friends that have done this, I could do a marathon. And then the first time I, like, as I said, you know, I didn't train well for it and it really humbled me. But then I took it a lot more seriously and said, okay, well, let's see what I can do. If I really commit to this, let's just see what's possible. Cause I didn't grow up running. I hated running as a teenager in early 20s, but at some point it just kind of clicked for me where I said, okay, not only am I proving to myself that I can rise to a pretty significant challenge, but I grew to love it along the way. And Boston was kind of the same thing. I'd set a goal for myself after I ran two marathons early on in my running career and then stopped because after each one, I said, I'm not going to do this again. It hurts too much. I'm out here too long. But I really enjoyed half marathons. So I said, I can keep doing that because I can run a half. I recover okay. I don't feel miserable. But then I started to get that itch again to say, okay, you know, how fast could you be in a marathon? So I challenged myself. I said, okay, let's really train for a half, see what we can do. And I set myself a time goal and said, okay, if I go under this time goal, I'm committing to try to train to get into Boston. And I ran, it was the Norfolk Harbor in 2015. And I set the goal for myself and I ended up beating it by like 5 minutes. I really surprised myself. And I said, okay, well, you know, now you've got to go for it. You've got to try to get that time, and then spent the next 2 years chasing it, basically.
And there's a lot of sort of, you could almost consider it normalcy in that, because a lot of folks we relate to going after goals and setting them. And I know for me, my running is a lot better when I have a goal. And whether that goal is to qualify for a race like Boston, or that goal is to, you know, break 5 hours in the marathon or 2 hours in the half marathon, sure, or to finish a 5K. And you see that drive and that motivation to keep on moving yourself forward, to keep challenging yourself and getting those variety of different ways within you. And so then you jump in and you achieve those goals, right? I next want to ask the question. It's like, what does that look like that first time you qualify, you hit that Boston qualifier, right? And for listeners, be aware, there's a difference between, you know, running a Boston qualifier and then actually getting into Boston just because of the way the race works. But, you know, the first time you ran that Boston qualifier, you know, what was going through your mind next?
Honestly, for me, the first time I ran a qualifying time was, is this going to be fast enough to get me in? Like, I instantly went to knowing that, oh, depending on how many people make the qualifying time, there will be a cutoff. And my first qualifier, I was only 32 seconds, I think, under the standard. And I knew, I was like, that is probably not going to be enough to get me in. So I chased it again. I ran another marathon just before the cutoff that same year. The cutoff that year ended up being like 3 minutes, so I didn't make it. So then it just became, you know, that much more of a focus for me to say, okay, well, how can I not only hit my standard, but how can I get, say, 5 minutes under that standard to, you know, basically guarantee me getting in. So I just kind of rise to the next challenge. But at the same time, like, I couldn't have been more excited to meet the standard the first time to know, like, okay, I'm going to apply to get into Boston. Maybe I'll get in, maybe I won't. But, like, I've met the standard I set for myself.
Yeah, and I think that becomes important because in a few ways, Boston is kind of a two-tiered enjoyment system where you celebrate the fact that you hit the qualifier, but then you have to wait. I mean, for listeners, the short of it is they only have 20,000 spots dedicated to runners via the qualification system. And they set the standards, but obviously they have upwards of 30, 40,000 people who are submitting entries to get in. And so they can't let them all in. And so what ends up happening is there becomes like a time that is cut off under the standard for what it ends up taking to get accepted. And I will direct you at other podcasts that kind of go through the fairness and everything with that. I'm not here to discuss that, but to note the way that your goals kind of developed from there, right? It went from hitting the qualifying standard and there was celebration and there was joy in that. And then there became a new goal of, okay, this is the next step in this process. Because I think as runners, we often can get someplace where we hit a goal and then there's just this stagnation because we don't know what comes next. And unfortunately, a lot of running goals aren't set up like a Boston goal or like an Olympic trials goal, right? We're not,
right.
It's not professional running. And so we don't have the next great race that we can do or the next magic number to get to. And so I think it's important, even as we look at, say, you're qualifying for Boston, then your entry into Boston, you've now run Boston 5 times and you talk about still having hopes and desires to continue to run it. What have become your goals now that Boston isn't the goal that it used to be probably for you anymore? There's probably other goals that exist within that, and Boston becomes the icing on the cake. How do you, as someone who may have hit this point where, all right, I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve, how do you then move on to that next goal?
That has been a challenge for me. That's a good question. Because like you say, there's a, I don't want to say it's a letdown. I don't know the right word to describe it. But once you kind of get that challenge and you've had this goal out there for so long and you meet it and you're like, okay, now what? Like you just you enter this phase where I've been so focused on attaining this one goal. What do I do now? And I still struggle with that sometimes. The way I deal with it is I just sign up for a lot of races and I just keep saying, okay, well, let's just see, can I set a PR this year? I'm now entering the phase of my life where it's more around age group PRs than overall PRs because I'm probably not going to touch some of the times that I was running 10 years ago. But I just love to race, so that's kind of the way I challenge myself now is to, you know, Boston was my third marathon this spring. I ran one city, paced the Shamrock full, and then ran Boston. I had done the same thing 2 years ago, kind of ran all three races really well 2 years ago. This year was a little more challenging for me, but I've got more marathons coming up. So I'm going to look to see what I can do, and I want to get in and run something short maybe too.
Yeah, I might have something for you in November. I'll bring you out for it.
Okay.
But it's so interesting to hear because ultimately, there's always that peak of what we want to achieve. And the hardest thing for us to do is when we hit that peak to not feel like we have to come back down to a valley. And as I look towards what I'm hoping to achieve this fall, it's one of those things where I've readapted my mindset so that I kind of get in and instill in myself right up front. How do I kind of come up and hit a level at the end of the summer without doing a race and then try and peak again? And I wonder what that would look like in our goal making, even just considering what is it that I want to achieve in this phase of my life? And as we achieve those goals, what it looks like to then adapt them, to make them more, to make them better, and to even be okay with my goal is not time related. Maybe my goal is I want to run every day for a month, or I want to run these 6 marathons this year. And what kind of shape is it going to take for me to be able to run 6 marathons in a year? And that's a big and a tall order there. And so we start to look at that. So as you're looking at, you know, what the rest of your year looks like and the rest of these marathons, what then does that mean for your training and staying motivated day to day to continue to train?
I feel like I'm constantly training, but it's by design. I would rather stay in good shape or as close to good shape as I can. I don't like to take a lot of downtime, even coming out of races. I'll take a few days off and I want to get back out there because I would rather just constant, like kind of always be ready to feel like I'm in race shape and to help me get through that mentally because it slogs sometimes for sure to feel like you're always running long on the weekends if the marathon's the goal, for example. That's where I really rely on like the running community, having people to run with, just helping me get through the miles, helping me get through speed work if I'm out at a track, if I have to do, you know, specialized or specific training, I really count on having other people around to help pull me through it or push me through some of these workouts or drag me through 20 milers when I don't feel like being out there. The easy days are always okay to get through by myself, but when I'm doing hard work, I'd rather be with other people who are putting in hard work too.
I mean, that puts it right back on the community of how the community is gathering around and how the community is supporting this work that you're doing. And again, it harkens back to everybody's journey is different and how we then come together to support one another on each of our journeys. And so you talk about just being in this constant shape, and not that we're saying that anybody needs to do it this way. He needs to do it the James Moore way, because friends, James Moore is one of a kind. But I think it shows the step and the progressions of answering the questions of what do I want to do, and then being comfortable of working with what is both comfortable for me to get there, and then what do I need around me to get there, and to see around the community that there are those who are supporting you in staying trained. And because it is something that you're driven to do, you want to be there. So you want to be ready for that next marathon or that next race, whatever that next race is. It's that joy and hearing that it starts with just your love for racing. And I think there's a lot of people who love racing, whether it's for the experience and the joy of running with just the crowds and all the people around, whether it's you like to race for medals and t-shirts, but you think about what it takes to hit those goals and then building the community around you to help to ensure that you get there. And so let's go back to Monday, and it's your fifth Boston, and you're in the city, beautiful city, and Marathon Monday is one of the best things. And even if you're someone who's not anywhere near the Boston qualifying time, I think there's so much appreciation that you can get from seeing this race and viewing it. So what are your feelings as you're picking up your bib, you're wandering around Boston Saturday and Sunday, or even just standing on the starting line in Hopkinton? What's going through your mind? What are you processing? What are you feeling?
Each time I get up there early, the first couple of days, it's just kind of soaking it all in. Like there's just an energy in the city the weekend of the race. Like going to the expo, picking up the bib, you're surrounded by thousands of other people who are just buzzing to be there. I really just try to soak it all in. Past couple of years, I've gone out and watched the 5K that they have on Saturday. You get to see it's similar to the marathon in that they have a pro field with some crazy fast people, and then there's for the 5K, 10,000 runners more like me out there just being out there to run and be part of the weekend. I get to Hopkinton, you know, I try to keep my emotions in check because I'm excited. I've got a lot of adrenaline going, but I also know that you've got to keep some of this under control because you still have 3+ hours ahead of you. Don't burn yourself out getting too hyped just yet. It's a challenge. But there's electricity in the air. Like this year was exciting because I was standing in the corral with two of my friends, which happened to be in the same corral, and just chatting with them, waiting to get started, you know, helps keep the nerves at bay a little bit. And it also feels really good to know that I'm about to share in this experience, not only with friends that I know, but like the 30,000 other runners that I'm sure if I knew them personally, I'd be friends with a big number of them because we're all out there chasing the same dream.
I think that becomes part of the conversation as well, because a lot of folks, when they are looking out in the running community, races can feel somewhat daunting because it can tend to be people that we don't know really well. And so I love that start line corral because you never know who you're going to meet. You never know the conversations you're going to have. You never know the friends that you're going to journey 26.2 miles with. So as you get started and as you start making your way from Hopkinton to Boston, what is the mood among the crowd? Maybe even some of the stories, some of the communities that you're passing through that you're experiencing there as well.
The crowd there is amazing. Both the folks cheering and the folks running, just everyone is incredibly excited. And one of the things I just love about the course in Boston is Hopkinton is pretty rural. It's a small town. I think I saw somewhere that they only have 13,000 people live there year round, but on Marathon Monday, they bring in 30,000. So the town, you know, triples, quadruples in size for Marathon Monday. And you do run through a lot of smaller communities on the way in, but the people really come out to cheer. And I have spots that I specifically look for along the way. I have visual landmarks now that I've run it a few times, things that I know I want to see because maybe I saw it the first time I ran it and it something made me smile. Like there's a guy that dresses up like Santa Claus around like 8.5 miles in and he's at the top of this little hill. And now I know every year when I'm climbing this hill, I'm like, I'm going to get to the top of this and I'm going to see Santa Claus. He's there every time I run it. Like, I don't know who he is. I don't know how popular he is, but I know to look for him now every time. I'm sure anyone who has talked about Boston has probably mentioned Wellesley College. It's my favorite mile on the course because you hear it about a half mile away. It starts as a dull roar. And as you get closer, it's so loud. You know, like the college students just are out there screaming their heads off for you. And this year I spent probably a solid half mile just running with my right arm extended, just high-fiving. And it may have been my fastest mile during the entire race. And in some past years, it definitely has been because there's just, you get so much energy from that.
Yeah.
And the crowds are similar at other points along the way. Like at each of the hills, particularly at Heartbreak Hill, the fans come out and line and are screaming for you to run up this hill, even though you're beat up, feeling miserable. I don't want to stop and walk because, first of all, I don't want to walk in front of a bunch of people while I'm trying to run a marathon, but I also don't want to let the crowd down when they're out here trying to cheer us through a tough stretch.
And so not even just through Boston, but we've experienced this big boom down here in Hampton Roads with Shamrock and some of our other big races. And I know coming from Richmond, you talk about crowd support. And that is just another nature of community that I don't think we often think about as much unless we're out there. I'd love it for you to continue to speak to a little bit more. How much of a difference does it make when you have that support of those who line the roads, who are there cheering, who are there supporting? What kind of boost are you getting from that? And then even like when you're on the sidelines, because I've been at a couple of races where you've been either you finish and you've come back and you started cheering or you've just taken up cheering for that race. How big of a boost is that for you? And then even how big of a joy is it for then you to be on the other side of that as well?
The boost is incredible. I know for me, it makes a big difference. I've run a lot of big races and I've run some small races. And just having someone out there cheering, clapping, making noise, it definitely helps. It helps drive me through it. It helps put me in a place where I remember like, oh, I'm lucky that I get to do this. I need to really remember to enjoy this moment. And that's what I try to remember when I come out and cheer. It's something I always say I want to do more of, but then I end up racing so much that I'm usually in the race rather than cheering it. But I do try to come out and cheer for that same reason. You know, whether it be to help people just like keep the energy high or cheer along someone who look like they might be struggling in the race, because I've benefited from that as well. And I just want to do the same thing for everyone else because I know how much it means to me to have people out there supporting their friends and family or just anyone in the race at all. It makes a huge difference to me and hopefully be able to offer that same thing to other folks in their races.
I think you can see from like just the creativeness that goes into say a race like Boston for all the people cheering. And for those of you listening, you can go and you can look at just all of these different examples of cheer zones along the Boston course, along the New York course, along just about any course that there is. And that it goes to show what is going into a lot of these races and what it means to participate in these races that these people are coming out. And especially for a day like Boston, if you're an elite, you're starting at like 9:30, 9:40. If you're a qualified runner, you might get in around 10, 10:30 start. But I mean, my gosh, you didn't start until almost 11:30. And he's still talking about all the folks that were on the course, the cheer zones, the hype and everything like that. And there's that aspect of community too, that unites around a lot of these races to ensure, because just being in the race, just making it to the starting line and attempting to make it to the finish, I think the part of the community that expresses is that, you know, that in and of itself is a great accomplishment. And we're here to show up to help and to give you the energy to reach the finish. So going back to Monday, knowing just the conditions that it were, you know, it was a hot day. It was over 70 degrees. It was sunny. I don't think I heard a lot of people talking about clouds in the sky. There's not a lot of tree coverage. So you're slogging down. You're coming through Brookline and you're coming into Boston and getting ready to pass Fenway into the final miles for that right on Hereford and that left on Boylston. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, what are you using from those depths, from those supports, from those cheers, from back home in Virginia to up there in Massachusetts? What are you using to get through those last, just, man, those are difficult miles?
Yeah. This year, I got into survival mode pretty early in the race. So, the mindset completely changed for me. But in those last couple of miles, it was just staying thankful for the opportunity to be out there, thankful for everyone out there cheering, for like the friends and family who have supported me, ran training miles with me, like my wife and son who have supported this dream for me to keep constantly racing and keep going back to Boston, and to just soak it all in, to realize this is a special experience. And it wasn't my day out there. It wasn't the race I had drawn up prior to going into it. But I probably finished smiling more than I had in some of my prior better Bostons, just because I was so mindful of it. When my mindset changed, I remembered, like, sure, you can be disappointed you didn't get the time you wanted, but you should be thankful and happy for everything you're experiencing. It, you know, such an amazing day. Yeah, it's hot, but it could have been cold and rainy, and I probably would have been just as miserable. So it's a little easier to smile when it's sunny, at least.
At least it wasn't 2018 out there and you had to slog through the cold rain, whether it's a story from Boston or someplace else. I think a lot of people have that story of gutting it out to the finish and what that means. And to know for those people that it's everything that got you to that point that hopefully is starting to feed in and hopefully starting to build up to get you through to that finish line. And I think it becomes a great example of you hit that starting line. And there's so many folks along the course who are cheering your willingness, your desire to be on that starting line. And they're cheering it on because they want you to see the finish line too. They don't want it to end at the starting line. And then that becomes motivation and drive to continue to move forward. So James, great conversation. I want to hit these end of podcast questions as we close our time together today. I feel like this one, we've talked about this a lot, so I don't know if this is actually going to be the answer, but James, what is your favorite distance to race?
Yes, my favorite distance is the marathon.
All right. So what is your favorite thing to eat either post-run or post-race? What's your favorite food, snack, meal? What do you finish it and what do you want to do? What's the first thing you want to eat?
Probably pizza and beer.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen the video. Have you seen the video of Emma Bates getting the beer after she crosses the finish line and just down it? Yep.
Yeah. I can't turn around that quickly. I need a little time after a marathon, but I was impressed. Yeah, she literally started drinking right after finishing.
So what is something or someone recently that has motivated you on the run?
Oh, that's a good one. Gosh, I feel like I'm constantly motivated on a run, trying to think of something specific. Actually, there was, when I hit Heartbreak Hill on Monday, I caught up with a wheelchair athlete. Well, I'm sorry, a duo athlete, someone pushing, and watching him push this wheelchair up Heartbreak Hill kind of reminded me. I'm like, okay, you're hurting, but at least, you know, you're just pushing yourself out here. Like, no matter how bad I'm hurting out here, someone else has a tougher challenge than I do.
Man, I mean, I know just watching all of those duos and everything. I mean, there's so much motivation in that. So last question, I want you to, or not even a question, the last thing as we wrap up the podcast, James, I'd love you to give our listeners a reason to join their local run club or group.
Wow. It makes everything about running better. You know, you will meet people that you love. You'll meet people who share the same goals as you. You'll meet people that you want to support and people that are going to want to support you. And there is no downside to joining a local run organization. I would say join as many as you can. Get out there and run with a bunch of different run groups. They're all great.
Ooh. Great advice. Love it. It's awesome. James, thank you so much for joining. This has been an awesome conversation.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for joining, and remember, make every mile count.